That one's mine. Yep. Mark chapter 4. For many of you, a familiar text. Are you there? Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came, devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, but since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and they choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and even 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears, let him hear." Verse 10. When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about these parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables. So that," this is a quote from Isaiah, "they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the words. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately," or the accuser, "immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in. They choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Let me pray for us today. Jesus, I'm asking that this word would be enlivened to our hearts and our minds so that as we hear it and receive it, that we would leave different than the way that we came because we've experienced the living God who gives a living word that we can align our lives to. And so, Holy Spirit, we're giving you the freedom to work in our lives in such a way that we would be a fruit-bearing people, that we would be productive. Oh, may it be so today, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me begin with a question, a couple of questions, actually. How many of you is this text pretty familiar? You've read it or at least heard this parable. Lets me know what I'm working with here, right? So, well, this is a somewhat familiar parable. I've heard it taught on several times. Let me ask another question. How many of you have ever felt stuck? Anybody ever felt stuck? Whether emotionally stuck, spiritually stuck, right? Physically stuck. Right. Years ago, I was kind of a small kid. Any shout out to any other small kids out there? Yes, Kobe. Thank you. This will resonate with you, Kobe. My dad made boxes that we would train on for our high school. And so they would make, the boxes were intended to help you get a higher jump. And so Dad made a couple of dimensions of boxes, and they were up in the weight room, and we would use them to train in. Now, I was a small kid, and these were made for my brother, who's 4 years older than I am, and my mom worked at the school, and so we would be there early in the mornings because my mom needed to be at work early, and so you went to work when mom went to work because that's where you were heading. And so we would shoot baskets, and then, because my brother had practice as well, and then they would go up in the weight room, and so I kind of had free reign of that as well, and I would go up and be with the guys. And I remember one day when they were up lifting weights, one of the teammates of my brother said, "Hey, Ryan, do you think you could fit into one of those boxes?" I was kind of a small kid, and I thought, I don't know, maybe, let's try. And so I contorted my body in order to fit in this 2x2 square box and got in, got out, no problem, right? And the guy goes, "Hey, do you think you could do it again?" I did it once. Why couldn't I do it again? And so I contorted my body and I got in the box a second time. And you won't be surprised by this, but the joke was on me because the player pushed the box over and I was stuck. There was no pressure that I could apply because of the way I had contorted my body, so I wasn't able to apply pressure to the box. I wasn't able to push down in order to raise the box. I mean, I was stuck. And I can tell you that when you're stuck, the only thing that you want is to be what? Unstuck. We are moving into Mark where Jesus begins to meet some stuck people. And the good news is that Jesus takes stuck people and he makes them unstuck. That's a glorious thing. And he begins, what's really cool, he begins with this parable. I don't know how you've heard it taught, but this parable actually, depending on who you listen to, it's or what scholar you read, it's known by different names, right? This is the parable of the sower or the seed. Or the soil, right? And so all three of those things are present, and depending on what you read or who you listen to, they'll pick one of those and highlight that expression of the parable. Nothing wrong with that. Just reminding you that all three of those things are present. Let me share one of the things that I see that is just glorious in this. We're told in this parable that a sower sows his seed, right? He goes and he broadcasts seed, and it seems as though that he is indiscriminate on where the seed falls. He's unconcerned if it falls on the path. He's unconcerned if it falls in among the rocks. He's unconcerned if it's a weedy place. He's just broadcasting the seed. Time out. There's something really beautiful. Just if we stop there, there's something really beautiful that you need to hear. That Jesus tells a parable about his Father that reveals the Father's generosity. Let me tell you, friends, there is no stinginess in God making stuck people unstuck. He will not say, "Well, you kind of did that to yourself." He will not say, "Well, you deserve that one. I hope you learned something." He will not say, "Not my problem. You're on your own." Our God is so generous that he intends to come to stuck people and get them unstuck. He's so generous in that regard. And that leads to how does the Lord unstuck people? Well, the good news is that up to this point, and again, this is a turning point, or at least one of the turning points in Mark as I read it. Not everybody reads it the way that I read it, but it's one of the turning points. Most scholars, by the way, if you're interested in what scholarship would say that the major turning point is right in the middle of the book, right? Mark 8, 16 chapters, Mark 8, there's the first half and there's the second half. And I think that's a wonderful way to read it, and you're welcome to that. I liken the book of Mark to a page turner, right? This is a good book. And so there's lots of hinges. And so you have immediately, and they're just like turning the pages because you can't put this book down. This is one of the page turns as I read the book of Mark. You're welcome. Actually, you are getting the way that I read Mark, so you don't have to like join me. Just keep coming, right? You have this turning point in which up to this point, Jesus has been communicating. How has Jesus been communicating? Help me out. He's been communicating, well, certainly in this case, this is a parable, but what's he been doing? Right? He's been, let's be more generic, right? Not just what? He's been speaking. How has he been speaking? Teaching? Oh, this is glorious. Thank you. I'm putting you guys on the spot. He's been teaching, right? Remember that time he was teaching, and with that teaching, there was a lot of healing that was taking place, and he gets up, and he goes to a solitary place to do what? He's been praying. He's been teaching. He's been praying, and then he's out praying, and the 12 or those that were close to him, they come out looking for him, and they say, hey, there are still people back in town that need healing. Like, everybody's looking for you. And Jesus says, I need to go to the other villages and do what? Not just teach and preach. Right, so these are the ways in which he has been communicating to the people up to this point. He's been teaching them, he's been praying for them, and he's been preaching to them that they might hear the words of God. Okay? So when we come to this parable that's a hinge, we should already be aware of what the seed is, right? The seed is the word. What words have been shared so far? Jesus teaching, Jesus praying, Jesus preaching, right? These are the words that we should be connecting to the parable. The reason I say that is we read this parable and we automatically go, this is about the Bible, and it certainly is about the Bible. I'm not in any way diminishing that, but they didn't have the Bible as we understand the Bible in our hands, right? So what did they have? They had the seed that was being communicated by Jesus through his teaching, through his praying, and through his preaching. This is the seed that is coming to them. I find that to be really helpful, okay? And it's helpful for us, and we're going to see how that's helpful for us in just a moment. And then you have the soil. Now, I want to pause here. The reason we're moving into a scenes of stuckness, that the way I've been taught this parable is an evaluation of what soil you are, right? So you get to the end of the parable and the question is asked, right? Are you hardened soil? Are you like the path that makes it easy for the birds, the accusers, to snatch it away. Are you rocky soil that doesn't allow the word to get deep or the words to get deep and to take root in our life, and therefore when persecution comes, when trials come, that it cannot endure or last? Or are you like weedy soil, soil that has thorns, and so you're always worrying about what to do, what's next, how is this going to work out, what am I going to do about? And so the question is asked, are you one of these soils or are you productive soil? And depending on how you answer that question, there is an imposition of, well, what am I going to do about that? Right? And so you, even there, the way that I was taught this is not intentionally, but even in the identity of a soil that would be consistent in your life, it's like you're stuck, right? Man, if you're hardened path, bummer. Like, you'll always be a hardened path. I hope not, right? If you have some trials and tribulations that are really challenging your faith, well, you're not going to endure. Bummer. Sorry about you. It was unintentional, but I found in my own life that there was a stuckness, even if I identified various areas of my life that had these soils present in them. And I go, I don't want to be stuck in any of these soils except the productive one. Okay. So, that being said, you can imagine that I'd like to introduce a connection, I think, that's in the text. Jesus has already been communicating, right? He's been communicating through teaching, and he's been communicating through prayer, and he's been communicating through preaching, and this is being enlivened in his parable to those that are listening. So, good. I forgot to grab this morning. I teach better when I'm sitting, so I think that might be like an Old Testament principle there, right? You stand to read the word and you sit to teach, so I don't know, friends. I've been sitting a lot recently, and I feel like either I'm more attentive to you, and so I can read you better, or you're better attentive to me because I teach better. I don't know, but I'm going to sit, okay? So, here we go. We've identified that the sower is generous, right? He is broadcasting his seed, and it seems as though he's unconcerned about where it falls, right? Whether it's a hardened path or whether it's a rocky soil or whether it's thorny soil. Okay, here's what's really cool about this text and this page turner of the Gospel of Mark is that if we take these three ways in which Jesus has been communicating, that Jesus is brought, the seed is being broadcast through his teaching, through his praying, through his preaching, that the sower, not only does he broadcast the seed, but the sower, here's what's really cool, the sower intends to cultivate the land. So, this is God's generosity at work. God is not indifferent toward the soil. Is that God's heart is that all soil would be good soil. Can we just pause there and say, praise God for that truth? God does not intend any soil to remain unproductive and unuseful. Amen. If I stop there, we could all go out of here rejoicing. To know that God intends for our life to be a reflection of his glorious goodness. Right? The product of what he desires for us. His goodness. If God intends for all soil to be good soil, that when we look in our life and we find areas in our life that are a hardened path, the way in which God intends to prepare or to cultivate a hardened path, any ideas, any guesses? How do you break it up, Kobe? What words would be used to break up hardened path? Teaching. When we teach truth. And so what happens, how do you cultivate a path that is hard, right? There's no getting into the soil because it's hard. Well, what you do is you sit under teaching that is true. And that cultivates, it works up the ground so that we can hear that which is true. We live in a culture that is filled with lies. Right? And lies have a tendency to desensitize and harden us toward what is real. Right? If a lie is something that is not real, then what lies do is they desensitize or they take away that which is real. What teaching does is it brings back into an understanding that which is real, that which is true. Hear how James talked about this in his epistle. James says that our God does not change like shifting shadows. You remember this text? Here's what's kind of cool about what James does here. In this time period, they would have known about Plato. I'm not talking about Plato that my kids play with, by the way. Like Plato, P-L-A-T-O, philosopher. What was his philosophy? Or one of? Right? The shadow puppets on the wall. So it's a light from behind, and all that is real, all that exists, is the shadow puppets that you see on the wall. James goes, that's not God. Our God does not change like shifting shadows. What's he saying here? Plato has it wrong. The shadows aren't the real thing. That God's wisdom that comes from above, that's the real thing. So, Jesus in this parable is saying that if there are areas in your life that are a hardened path, that you can no longer hear truth, that you're being deceived, friends, set yourself under some good teaching where truth is being communicated, where truth is being admonished, where truth is what is desired, not simply what suits the itching of my ears in order that would make me feel better. But it's the pursuit of truth. Sit under good teaching. And when you sit under good teaching, then the land begins to get broken up so that the seed has a place to take root. Friends, I'm convinced that all of us have some hard path areas in our life where we're no longer able to listen. We're not listening. We've already drawn a conclusion. We're already right. And if people would agree with us, then they could be right too. And we lose Jesus, who said, I'm the way and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Anybody who wants to get to the generous Father has to come through me. It's all about Jesus, friends. So, in the areas of our life where we have hard paths, friends, I would encourage you to find good teaching. Find good teaching and sit under it and pursue truth so that the seed that the sower is generously sowing might produce fruit in your life. And then there's this rocky soil, right? And the rocky soil that the plant doesn't endure because trials come. And have you experienced any trials in your life? Yeah, me too. So this is a matter of endurance. What has Jesus been communicating? What reservoir has he been drawing from in order that the seed that falls on rocky places would endure? You guessed it. This is where prayer becomes vital. If we're going to be fruitful, if the soil that is rocky, the soil that has trials, if the plant is going to last there, it'll last because it prays. It'll last because it prays. This is a story for another time, but I'll just make quick mention of it. When I was in my first church, if I've ever been depressed, it was there. Man, I was in the dump. And so I would crawl, not literally, but figuratively, I would crawl to the church and I would crawl back home and I would go to bed after I preached every Sunday morning. My poor church there, they suffered with the pastor who struggled. And I don't know how this happens, but I was asked to go and speak in Alaska. Like, that's pretty cool. It's like walking through a postcard there. And I knew that I needed more education, and so I had been accepted to attend Denver Seminary. I didn't end up going there. That's another story for another time. But we went to Alaska. The church even paid for it. I don't know why they did that. It was amazing. We had a wonderful time, and God did an amazing work with if I've ever been depressed, I have been depressed. It's the only time in my life where Riss would say that she was scared for my life. And so when your wife says that, I don't know that I really look back and feel the degree of it, but when your wife says that, you go, ooh, I was a mess. Might still be that, but I came back home and we weren't going to go to Denver because it was clear that God didn't want us there, and that just put me deeper into the depressed state that I was in. There was a book on my desk that was really a call to prayer. And so I went to the church. I said, hey, I'm just going to start praying. You can show up if you want to. Nobody did, or very rarely did. But man, I prayed and I discovered that there was a God who could receive all of my tears and all of my pain and all of my anger. Friends, I survived because God forced me to pray. Friends, if you're in a hard time, can I convince you? I don't know that I can. Can I encourage you to get serious about prayer? Here's the way that's worked out in my life. Everywhere I've gone since then, I find people that I pray with regularly because I don't have enough willpower in my life to be a diligent prayer on my own. And so if you have the same problem I do, that I put people in your life that'll show up and say, let's pray together. Friends, if you're going to make it through hard times, Jesus would say, prayer is the pathway. It wasn't in teaching that Jesus said, Lord, not my will, your will be done. It wasn't in preaching that Jesus said, Father, if possible, could you let this cup pass by me? But if it's the cup that you have for me, I'll receive it. No. It was in prayer that Jesus said, whatever the trial, I will Walk it because you will provide for it. Here's what's cool about prayer. This isn't the only definition of prayer, but it's one of the definitions that I've concluded is that we can know God's heart and not have God's heart. But prayer, here it is. Prayer is the process through which God aligns our heart with his heart. So how do you walk through trials? Is you come to God and you go, God, I don't know why you have me going through it, but I trust you. Help me to align my heart with your heart because you know what this trial is going to produce. And if it's going to produce fruit, then help me to make it to the other side of this. Friends, I would imagine that I could say all of us, maybe even now, are experiencing rocky soil in our life. And I would encourage you, get serious about your prayer life. Get serious about your prayer life. And one of the ways that I got serious about my prayer life is to invite other people into it. Because I'm not strong enough to have a dynamic prayer life on my own. So if you're like me, if you're going to get serious about your prayer life, invite others into it. Would you do that? That's the way you're going to survive trial. That's the way you endure. That's the way God works the soil of rocky places. You got rocks? Get serious about prayer. Then there's this last one. It's thorns. It's worries. Any of you worriers? My mother-in-law's a worrier, so much so that she puts on her kitchen cabinets various quotes about worry. One of my favorite is, worry is in the trash can. I like to pick on my mother-in-law, and so regularly I will go and open the trash can and go, Donna, I don't see it. She goes, what are you talking about? I said, worry, where's it at? All right. That was funny, guys. Thanks, Janelle, for your fake laugh. Appreciated that. So this last soil is thorny soil, and it's thorny soil that is the worries and the deceptions of this life. How do we respond, or how does the good sower, who's so generous, how does he prepare thorny soil to be productive? He preaches. He preaches. Preaching, friends, is for the purpose of motivation toward an end, right? So why do we preach? It's so that action would follow, right? So here is that we can be worried, and worry can, it can cripple us and keep us in inactivity where we don't do anything. Well, I don't want to do that. Fear might be another thorn that says, ooh, I'm scared to do that. I won't do that. And so there are thorns that are present in our life, and we need to sit under good preaching that would call us out of inactivity, that would say, you cannot stay there. You're being unproductive. You're allowing your worries, you're allowing your concerns, you're allowing your fears to keep you from doing something that God desires to do. Sit under good preaching that motivates, inspires, moves us to take action. Friends, I would guess, because it's true in my own life, that there are thorny soils, places in the land of Ryan, right, that I need to go and sit under good preaching that would call me out of my lethargy in various areas, that would call me to live beyond my fear, that would call me out of my anxiety and say, you can't stay there. If you do, you'll be unproductive. God is generous. He continues to provide his words for us. He continues to provide good teaching. He continues to provide opportunity for prayer. He provides preaching that energizes so that we all would be productive. God can take all the soil that are present in our life. And I would argue in this text that maybe all of the soils are present in each of our lives. And God intends to cultivate each of those areas in our life. Isn't that cool? Don't you want God to make you good soil today and in the days to come? Do you remember this text, and I'll close here. Do you remember this text in Genesis 26 that was read to us? Do you remember how it begins? And there was a famine in the land. Remember how it ends? And in that same year, God provided 100-fold. Friends, here's good news. I don't care how desolate our land is, in that same year, in this year, 2023, God can produce 100-fold of what he intends to sow in our life and in our church. Let me pray for us. God, you are so generous and so good. Lord, it would be cool today. It won't. I wish it would happen. I don't think that it will, but it'd be really cool if it did. If we just went out of here like whistling because you put a new song in our hearts. Because we leave here going, God, there is no soil in my life that you cannot and do not intend to cultivate to produce 100-fold. It doesn't matter how desperate we are, how desolate our land is, but you, the God of heaven, who sows generously, can produce a harvest in our life. Ah, Lord, I do pray for us that we would walk out of here believing that today, believing it, because that might spur us on to the experience of it. Ah, may it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand?